This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 14th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we continue our rural issues series with the presidential race. Today, we're talking about wedge issues like gay marriage, immigration, and abortion, and how they play in rural America. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The Champaign School Board has voted unanimously to ratify a new three-year contract with teachers. The contract raises average teacher pay by 4.5% each year, but as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, one group of teachers says the new contract treats them unfairly.
Under a plan to improve student performance, teachers at Stratton Elementary School spend an extra hour a day in the classroom. The stipend they're paid for the extra hour is going up 15% under the new teacher's contract, but they say it's still less than the extra pay for Unit 4 high school teachers, who teach an extra class when there's a staff shortage. Several Stratton teachers came to last night's school board meeting to protest the pay gap. Kindergarten teacher Ann Crosetti told the board the discrepancy could hurt Stratton's ability to get and keep the best teachers.
There is little incentive to retain and recruit experienced teachers to work the extended day for inequitable pay.
Champaign Federation of Teachers President Deb Furch says she understands that teachers will have different views of the contract.
We're happy that Stratton teachers can give voice to concerns that they have, but need to remember certainly that this new contract was ratified by Champaign teachers overwhelmingly.
School Board President Dave Tomlinson said only that the district recognizes the Champaign Federation of Teachers as the teachers' sole bargaining agent and that he was happy to have a contract with them. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Election officials in Chicago say a record number of people voted during the first day of early voting, and other parts of the state also saw an uptick. For example, election officials in Champaign County say they received more than 250 early votes during yesterday's special Columbus Day hours. Officials say nearly 12,000 Chicagoans voted by evening yesterday. Another 7,700 early ballots were cast in suburban Cook County. In Macon County, the clerk there, Stephen Bean, is expecting an onslaught of voters today when early voting starts there a day late. Bean says workers in his Decatur office yesterday were still pouring through what he calls the crazy number of new voter registrations. Since September 1st, Bean says there have been more than 1,600 new registrations in the county. Early voting ends October 30th. As the presidential election nears, the campaigns have become decidedly more negative. Amanda Vinicky spoke with a veteran campaigner who says he doesn't think that strategy is working.
Ray LaHood has plenty of experience on the campaign trail. He's won seats in both the Illinois and U.S. House and served as chief of staff to former Congressman Bob Michael. LaHood's retiring this year following his seventh term in Congress and says he's disappointed by the negative direction of the presidential race. LaHood is a Republican and says he's a strong backer of John McCain, but he says Barack Obama is a friend and a decent fellow who's had things said about him that are absolutely not true. LaHood says in the end, the harsh accusations coming from both sides will turn voters off. But LaHood says he doesn't blame McCain or Obama.
You know, a lot of this stuff is generated by a 24/7 cable news channels, by people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and other people who get on there and trash candidates.
LaHood says left to their own devices, he doesn't think McCain nor Obama would be running a negative campaign. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The three candidates for governor of Indiana are preparing for their third and last debate. Incumbent Republican Governor Mitch Daniels, Democrat Jill Long Thompson, and Libertarian Andy Horning will meet tonight at the Indiana University Auditorium in Bloomington. The roundtable discussion will be moderated by former Indianapolis broadcaster Tom Cochran. The Indiana Debate Commission's Kyle Niederpruem says unlike the two previous debates, all three candidates will be seated. She says Cochran will select for more than 400 questions submitted from the public. None of those questions has been shared with the candidates ahead of time. Some city staff members in Champaign want to provide local leaders with a course of action for dealing with vacant buildings. A report going before the city council tonight doesn't contain specifics as far as deadlines for compliance or any fines, but attempts to illustrate the health and safety hazards associated with abandoned properties. Champaign Neighborhood Services Director Kevin Jackson suggests council members take their time to look at the plan and refine the details based on what the staffing impact would be.
We simply just outlined probably some definite components or categories of what an ordinance might include, but we have not. There are some very specific details that we would need to follow up on to turn it into an actual policy to be presented to City Council for approval, should they decide after discussion that they would like to move forward.
The city has initiated property enforcement procedures on a total of 155 vacant commercial and residential buildings, as cited in the report. But Jackson says that doesn't take into account other vacancies brought on by foreclosures. Some of the warnings contained in the report include the likelihood of arsons and unintended fires in such buildings. Jackson says by establishing an ordinance, the city could also avoid some of the expenses incurred by inspecting and reinspecting those properties. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Most polls today show the economy, gas prices, and the war in Iraq are the top issues on voters' minds this election year. But there are concerted efforts throughout the country to steer voters' attention to other issues like gay marriage, illegal immigration, and abortion. Political experts call those issues wedge issues, and they've been part of American election campaigns for a long time. But some experts are now questioning how much of an impact they'll have this year. Peter Hancock has this report as part of our series on the presidential race and its impact on rural America.
Wedge issues have become a staple in American political campaigns. For example, you might remember the 1990 campaign when North Carolina's hardline conservative senator, Jesse Helms, was in re-election trouble. Polls showed him trailing Democrat Harvey Gantt, who was trying to become the first African-American elected to the Senate from the South since Reconstruction. Then, shortly before Election Day, the Helms campaign released a TV ad that is still talked about today as one of the most notorious and perhaps most effective wedge issue ads ever aired. Known simply as Hands, it showed the hands of a white man crumpling up a job rejection letter.
You needed that job, and you were the best qualified. But they had to give it to a minority because of a racial quota. Is that really fair? Harvey Gantt says it is.
Before that ad, affirmative action hadn't really been much of an issue in the race. Most voters were concerned about the economy, but in that simple 30-second ad, the Helms campaign quickly turned the economy into a racial issue by playing to the fears and resentments of blue-collar, working-class white men, a group that had, before then, been considered part of the Democratic Party's base. And that, says University of Kansas political science professor Burdette Loomis, is the whole point behind the use of wedge issues.
Well, a wedge issue is an issue that's often, you know, fraught with symbolism, and I think that is designed to attract a certain kind of individual, perhaps someone who would normally oppose you but might be attracted on this given issue.
In recent years, a whole host of wedge issues have been used to influence elections. 4 years ago, gay marriage amendments were on the ballot in several key electoral states, and many people believe that helped tip the presidential race in states like Ohio in favor of George W. Bush. This year, wedge issues are showing up again, especially in the presidential race, where conservative news shows, commentators, and political action groups have taken direct aim at Democrat Barack Obama, the first African-American candidate from a major political party.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama is trying to change political fashion. He gave a speech in Iowa City today, and he wasn't wearing an American flag pin.
Barack Obama, raised as a Muslim by his stepfather, also who was a Muslim, eventually an atheist, in Jakarta, Indonesia.
Because Barack Obama is an affirmative action candidate, there's no question.
Senator Obama has been under fire for months for his flag pin flip-flopping, as they put it.
Why would Barack Obama be friends with someone who bombed the Capitol and is proud of it? Do you know enough to elect Barack Obama?
Of course, conservatives haven't been the only ones to use Obama's race and background to stir up target voting groups. Just consider the comments of Obama's former pastor in Chicago, Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country and a culture that is controlled by rich white people.
Wedge issues are also popping up at the state level, in congressional races, as well as constitutional amendments and other ballot issues. And it's no surprise that many of them are in battleground states that could swing the presidential race this year. For example, in Colorado, which is considered a toss-up state, voters will decide on a constitutional amendment that would define human life as beginning at the moment of fertilization. Abortion measures are also on the ballot in South Dakota and California. And in Missouri, another close electoral state, voters will decide on a constitutional amendment to make English the official language. Missouri GOP spokeswoman Tina Hervey predicts that measure already has bipartisan support within the state, but she has little doubt that it will help Republican John McCain in the presidential race.
I think if you take a look at the difference between Senator Obama and Senator McCain, this English-only amendment definitely benefits Senator McCain. As a state that has an urban population and a rural population, we understand, I think, a little bit better than most other folks across the country, the need for immigrants who come into our country legally and illegally to assimilate.
But as a wedge issue, many experts think illegal immigration is one that can cut both ways. Like affirmative action, it can stir up fears and resentments of blue-collar voters who feel, rightly or wrongly, that their economic security is being threatened from an outside minority group. But it can just as easily ignite a backlash from Hispanic voters, the fastest-growing ethnic group in the United States, and one that historically has tended to vote Democratic. That's what happened in Kansas earlier this year, when the state legislature tried and failed to pass tough anti-immigration legislation. But Kansas political science professor Burdette Loomis says there's another problem with immigration as a wedge issue.
It's by and large been a Republican issue. And Republicans, the vocal conservative side of things, have wanted stringent regulations in one way or another, penalties, enforce the law, deportation, you name it. On the other hand, as occurred in Kansas this year, the business side of the Republican Party wants really to do very little about immigration and certainly doesn't want to create a hostile environment for employment. And so their own party is often split on how to address the immigration issue.
Elsewhere in rural America, gay marriage and gay rights will be an issue in Arkansas and Arizona, and proposals to roll back affirmative action programs will be decided in Arizona, Colorado, and Nebraska. But there's a growing sense among some political analysts that wedge issues probably won't have the effect this year that they've had in the past. Thomas Frank is an author who's made a career out of studying wedge issues. His 2005 book, What's the Matter with Kansas, chronicled how conservative Republicans in particular have used them to peel off segments of what used to be traditional Democratic voting blocks. He says it's unlikely they'll be able to repeat that success in 2008.
I think this year we're in a pretty bad economy right now, and a lot of those working class people and, you know, the people who are the wedge issues are and the culture war issues are aimed at are feeling the pinch pretty bad. You know, and when the election is about economics, Democrats tend to do very well.
But Frank also admits, even in his book, that economic issues don't always trump social issues. And for many voters, symbolic and value-based issues like abortion, religious faith, and traditional marriage are just as important as economic self-interest. The question this year will be whether those issues are seen as more important than traditional pocketbook issues like energy prices, jobs, and the economy. Reporting from Topeka, I'm Peter Hancock.
A little rain moves into the two-state area for the next couple of days, according to our meteorologist Ed Kieser. It'll be a mostly cloudy day across Illinois and Indiana with a few widely scattered showers. Highs today will range from 60 in far northwest Illinois to 80 in the far south, 72 here in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered showers, most numerous in central Illinois and the south after midnight. Lows between 48 in far northern Illinois and 60 in the south. Few showers possibly toward daybreak tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana with a low of 54. For tomorrow, cloudy with areas of rain and a high from 54 in far northwest Illinois to 82 in the far south, 70 in Champaign-Urbana. Then this area gets cooler, cloudy with some showers tomorrow night, especially in the evening, the low 47, partly sunny and only 63 for Thursday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.